Hey, this is Pirate RC, and I'm
chatting. It's Pirate RC.
Exactly. And I'm chatting with David Osmond at the San Diego Marriott. He's here for the...
It's the Marriott, I'm sorry. Okay, I'll shut up.
For the three-day MS Challenge Walk here in Southern California. He's performing tonight, but it's taking a little time to talk with us. So how you doing?
I'm good. I'm very good. My feet are probably better than most of the walkers right now. I didn't walk this year, and boy, I see some of them, and I kudos, hats off to them. They are troopers. This heat today was unbelievable.
It was really hot today.
Yeah, they're out there walking their tails off, 50 miles, you know, in 3 days. It's an amazing thing.
50 miles in 3 days?
Yeah, can you believe that, dude? 50 miles in 3 days. Welcome to the interview, by the way.
Yeah.
This is, what's your name? This is Craig, ladies and gentlemen.
This is Craig. Just passing by. So what's your connection with the MS Society? I know my connection is that I have MS, which a lot of the podcast listeners probably don't know.
Yeah. How long have you had it?
10 years.
Wow.
So, and I know
doing
actually...
doing pretty well with it?
All right, yeah. I was able to walk most of the way today. So.
Good for you. Good for you. I also have MS, and I was diagnosed... My first symptoms were about 5 years ago, and it started with my eyesight, and very quickly a painful compression, smashing feeling started in my toes, and it moved all the way up my body to my chest, in my hands, and my eyesight diminished tremendously. And then shortly after, paralysis set in that area, and I was in a wheelchair, unable to move. And I have been walking on my two feet. By myself, without assistance, and in fact, you look at me and probably wouldn't even know anything.
Yeah, no idea.
For about 3.5 years, since my wedding day, pretty much, and it's been nothing short of a miracle. I'm doing extremely well and finding what's working for me.
Right.
Now, despite the fact that I'm walking again, that sensation, that painful crushing, has resided. It resides and has persisted, and it still is something that I live with every single day, every second of every day. It's there. But I'm able to cope with it and look through the disabilities and try and focus on my abilities, what I can still do. And I'm able to do music again, which I had done my whole life, and it was taken away for some time. And I have a much deeper appreciation and a determination to do music and have a message to say. So my connection to the MS Society is I've known of them for many, many years because my dad... his name's Alan Osmond, and he's the oldest of the performing Osmond brothers.
Yeah.
And he has had MS for 23 years. He was diagnosed when I was just a little boy, and my whole life, knowing my dad, he's had it. And he has a type of MS that has progressively gotten worse. Mm-hmm. Despite that fact, he's actually doing pretty good. He uses a cane and a leg brace and an electric cart to get long distances, but I'm very passionate about helping the MS Society and like organizations to help get the word out there and find a cure for this thing, because it's a freaky disorder.
It's strange.
No, we don't know what starts it. There's a lot of theories. We don't know how to stop it. But what we do know is each person is affected differently, and it causes scarring on the central nervous system called demyelination. And there's positive things on the horizon, despite all the question marks. Awesome research happening, and I think we're getting very close to not just being able to live with the disease, but hopefully eradicate it.
Yeah, and just your involvement is early compared to some people. I think, just in the last couple of weeks, another kind of high-profile person has come out about it and said,
"Oh, really?
They have MS." Well,
who's that?
Was this lady on the DC Housewives or something like that, but she was one
DC
of the White House
Housewives.
The White House party crashers, that couple.
I saw that. That is right. That's right.
And so, but and she
are
said
they high
she's
profile?
Had a, it depends.
For being party crashers?
If you watch Bravo, they are.
Do they have their own show?
The DC Housewives have a show now. Like there's different Housewives shows, and so there's one was the OC, and then it was like Atlanta. And then it's like Washington, D.C., and I think it's going to be Beverly Hills next. And I don't really know. I don't watch
Sounds like some awesome television.
It sounds like, really, that some writers are probably really great out there who could actually work and not have this kind of stuff on TV. But this woman said that she's had it, for over 20 years and didn't even tell her close friends.
20 years?
Yeah. and didn't even
is
tell
she
her
affected
friends.
So her friends didn't even know, so yeah. Hers was not a very dramatic type of
yeah it wasn't like she ended up yeah. I don't think, but regardless, like, she has it, but she took that long to say something. And then you have other people, like, you know, Terry Gard took a long time to say something, but yeah. You said it, like, right away, and
I said it, I was diagnosed, and my first symptoms were 5 years ago. I wasn't diagnosed until 4 years ago, and even then, I was kind of like, wow, you know, in shock. I didn't believe it, because I knew my dad had it.
Yeah.
And, you know, we thought it was something else. We didn't know what it was. In fact, at the same time, I was diagnosed with something else, totally random. A mosquito bite, and I was diagnosed with the West Nile virus. And the theory is that that virus is the trigger, what triggered, it took such a toll on my system. Somehow, mm-hmm. whether I was genetically predisposed because of my dad or not, it started the whole...
kicked it off.
Yeah, the starting the whole process. And but you go back to like Terry Garr and Annette Funicello and other people. My dad, it took quite a while to come out and say
it.
Because back then, you know, 23 years ago, it took quite a while to get the diagnosis. And it was a very, very vague disorder. And my dad was almost embarrassed by it.
Mm-hmm.
And Annette is the one that told him, said, you know what, it's best if you just come out with it. In fact, it was some of the kind of the trash magazines, the National Enquirer and the Star and all these other ones. They caught wind of it somehow that my dad had this. And they called him and said, we're going to come out with a story. Either interview with us or we're putting our own story out there. And we're going to say whatever we want about you. And he didn't know what to do, and he said, that's it, okay, I'm coming out with it. I can't be ashamed anymore. Because I don't know why he felt that way. I mean, maybe it was just because it was such an unknown disorder, and and he's been on stage performing his whole life, and now he can't. And it was just kind of a hard pill to swallow. And but it was some great advice. It was the best thing he did. And he came out and has been a great advocate for the cause.
Mm-hmm.
And this was years and years and years ago. And he has done well with it. You know, again, it affects his life and it's taken him off the stage. But he's a positive, amazing guy, and I've learned a lot from his attitude.
And so, is that what just made you say, "Okay, I can actually fight this thing publicly"?
Yeah, because I mean, we all have challenges. Every single one of us. It doesn't, whether it's physical or emotional or spiritual or financial, or it hits us all in this life. Mm-hmm. And what I've learned from my dad is through his example. Learned that pain is inevitable for all of us, but suffering is optional. And his attitude has proven that, because he is beaming. He's an uber optimist, and I've really appreciated that, especially after getting my diagnosis and having that extra connection to my dad. I appreciate more greatly what he has gone through, the sacrifices that have happened in his life because of the disorder, but because of his attitude, how he's living such a much more richer and fuller life, and I feel like I'm doing the same. It sounds crazy, but it's one of the greatest things that's happened to me.
Yeah, I mean, and that's just something, I don't know, just talking to many different people, I think it does give you an opportunity, and sometimes, you know, you choose the cause, and sometimes it chooses you, and if it does, then...
We're all writing our own stories.
Yeah.
We all have things we will go through in this life, and I think it's, if we choose to, the tests that happen in our life can become testimonies and build our strength and our spirits and our bodies and our minds and our relationships and everything about this life. We're all very similar in many ways, and we're sitting in the same boat together, every single one of us. And that's what's cool about the society, the National MS Society, is you see that firsthand, these groups of people that come together for a purpose and a passion, and they're making such a huge difference. In their own lives, in the lives of others, and there's a great spirit here.
Well, one thing I do want to talk to you about, too, is that you're going to be performing tonight. So.
Yeah, I'm going to sing a few songs, going to have some fun with the crowd. They're a great, great audience, and hopefully we'll sing some songs together and have a good time and share some stories and have some laughs and maybe even, you know, maybe even cry a little bit.
Yeah.
Who knows? Honestly, I never know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
I just go up there and kind of do like a fireside chat.
Yeah.
You know, and we have a fun time, and hopefully, you know, do just that, bring a message of hope.
So when did you start performing? I mean, obviously you're from, if anyone sees your name, they're going to, probably the first question a lot of people ask, are you one of the Osmonds,
Are you an Osmond?
Yeah.
You know, my favorite thing is, like, to totally play stupid, be like, what do you mean? They're like, oh, you know, like, Donnie and Marie, I have no idea what you're talking about. And it's funny because then they proceed to tell me what they think they know about the Osmond family. And I've heard the craziest things. It's hilarious. But all in all, the majority of people have just amazing things to say and respect, yeah. And I appreciate that. And I'm very, very proud of my heritage. I am one of the Osmonds, and one of the billion, I say. And my dad is the oldest of the performing Osmond brothers. He was the leader of the group, the songwriter for most of their hits, and the producer of the Tawny and Marie Show, and just an amazing guy, and has had an amazing career. And they just celebrated, I think, 52 years in show business.
Wow.
As a family, and still going.
So and so now you're bringing your own sound to it, which is, I mean, it's not, you know, it's not the same.
It's totally different. I've been performing since I was 4 years old, full time. I have 7 brothers, and every single one of us are pretty much musical, and we've performed together, especially the first 4 of us, the oldest 4, and I'm number 4.
Okay.
I was the lead singer of our group, and we started out as Barbershop Quartet. We moved into the pop music and a boy band. We used to tour with the New Kids on the Block.
Oh, really?
Yeah, all over the world. We've done numerous albums. We used to be with Epic Sony and Curb Records, and had a lot of fun. I used to also be in music theater.
Okay.
I started as Joseph in Joseph and the Amazing Tech of the Dream Coat. I actually took over that role for my Uncle Donnie.
Oh.
And I was on that national tour for years and years doing Joseph. I reprised the role actually last year back east and had a chance to do it again, which was awesome. And so I've done a lot of different styles of music, but the passion that I have for music really is coming out now in the styles I do, which is my own individual solo projects. Mm-hmm. I just released an album, 2 albums this year. One is a soft release, and it's only available right now from my website, davidosmond.com. The other one is an inspirational album. It's a double disc CD. It's called Road Less Traveled, and it's available online at davidosmond.com, deseretbook.com, a lot of Walmarts, I believe, amazon.com, and several other places.
And so
iTunes, of course.
Is that one original music, or is
mostly,
it some?
Mostly original, almost all original, and it's... it's an album I'm very proud of, and it's, you know, it hits more of the inspirational, spiritual side that is definitely part of my life, and bringing that message of inspiration. And then the mainstream album, Reflected, is the name of the album. Reflected. It's all completely, mostly original. There's one cover I do on there, but the music that's from my heart, and it still has a very positive
and
message.
And it's a cool album. I actually got to listen to it online.
Oh, cool.
That one, yeah. And
nice.
I mean, it's definitely, I was curious, to be honest, if it was going to be more of the inspirational side, or if it was going to be more of a pop and like...
It's more of a pop rock.
Yeah, and it was, and it's pretty cool. So is there a song on there that, well, first of all, is any of it, you said it comes from your heart, but is it autobiographical at all, or is it...
In some ways, especially over the last couple years. Mm-hmm. I mean, songs like Every Second Counts, and... it is, you know. If you think it's this way, you know, life is what you make it, basically, the message of the song.
You were right across the room. The light hung around and pulled me to you. And I was searching but couldn't see. It's so easy to miss what you
song called Right in Front of Me, and it's, you know, everything I always wanted was just right in front of me.
Yeah.
I just needed to have the eyes to see it. There's a message called You, a song called You Wanted Me. In fact, I'm planning on singing that song tonight.
Oh, great. Cool.
And it's about my wife, who has been there since day one, when I went into my wheelchair while we were dating, and even proposing during that time, and saying yes, and then, you know, being there through sickness and health.
Does love like this really just happened? Baby, forgive me for asking, how could it be? You wanted me. Angels like you don't come through my world. need to know what you did to me, girl. You made me love you so much that it hurts. Did you find you were falling like I had been falling for you?
And the song of that is, you know, I can't believe that you wanted me.
Yeah.
Because of all my faults and troubles, that you chose me. And there's a lot of messages that are very autobiographical, absolutely. I think when you write and they're your songs, you can't help but have a piece of you
right
in there. And as I was writing those songs, it was like so fresh on my mind, just appreciation. And so I'm glad you enjoy it, thank you.
No, yeah. No, I mean, it's great, too, that you're able to go and, you know, just kind of do your own sound and yeah. not try to... Like,
and my goal,
basically rip on some other sound that's already
well, and that's
exists.
The thing, is I wanted the music to speak for itself, and
yeah.
also that it's enjoyable, that it's not just, you don't turn it on and it's just this inspirational explosion. You know what I mean? Like, it gets tiring. We want the music to be rock, and you
yeah.
want to enjoy it and have a good time listening to it, and then go, oh yeah, that's what he's saying.
Yeah.
You know, you don't want to focus too much on that. You want to enjoy the music, so.
And so with your songwriting process, does, as far as like just instrumentation and everything, do you...
Which comes first, the
yeah.
lyrics or the music?
Yeah, really.
Every song's different. Every
yeah.
process is different. And I on these albums, I've had some really great co-writers, some amazing people that have really been an inspiration as well. When you get in that room with another individual and you're able to talk about different ideas and share your story, you help bounce that off of each other, and that always helps. You never know if the music comes first or the
yeah.
lyrics, you just never know.
So growing up, and not necessarily like not to belabor the Osmond thing, but just growing up in general, what music did you listen to, and kind of what do you think has affected the music that you kind of write today? Is there anyone that
that's a good question. You know, I growing up listening to so many different types of artists, I think it has affected my music overall throughout the years, because I've performed so many different
mm-hmm.
styles of it.
Yeah, I mean, you've been really diverse in what
crazy.
You...
I mean, even our family had our own music theater in Branson, Missouri.
Oh, okay.
And we did 2 shows a day, 6 days a week, and I did
wow.
that for probably 6 years straight.
That's such an aggressive schedule for anyone, but for a young person, too.
I was in high
too.
School, you know?
Yeah.
And on that crazy schedule, two shows, full day of high school... And even some college classes on top of that. I had no life, you know. It's
yeah.
all music and school. And so I listened to a lot of stuff growing up. Everything from classic rock to you know, the 70s music, which I love, to a lot of indie artists. I loved
yeah.
R&B back in the day. I listened to a lot of Babyface and Take Six. I loved, one of my favorite groups.
Mm-hmm.
I loved Harry Connick Jr. I listened to a lot of jazz. And then a lot of indie artists, a lot of just singer-songwriters.
Yeah.
Everyone from James Taylor to Damien Rice. And, I mean, so there's a lot of influence there, and I'm wondering where, you know,
yeah.
what came out in the process of these last two albums.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think a lot more contemporary sounding, and
yeah.
I think it's definitely radio-friendly.
Is there a role that you loved playing since you did musical theater?
Joseph was the big one. I mean,
mm-hmm.
I've done 4 or 5 companies of Joseph, playing Joseph. And it's just kind of like, I don't know, it's kind of been that one show that I've all done over and over. And it's fun. It's
yeah.
kind of a nonsense show. And it's still got a good message.
And is there anyone that you would love to collaborate with at some point that you just...
Weird Al Yankovic.
Yeah?
No.
I'm like, okay.
I actually loved Weird Al as a kid. I still do. I think it's hilarious. I would love, if I had an option, to do a song with John Mayer. I would
yeah.
love that. I mean... it's always I've been a fan of his talent. Amazing guitar player, great songwriter.
Yeah,
just awesome.
Well, yeah, and with the guitar, he is actually really amazing. And I think he, you know, he spent a lot of time like just learning. It's you know
he's honed his craft well.
Yeah, did the jazz thing, and I think that's important if you want to.
Yeah, he's done really well. I respect him a lot, and think he's got a great sound. I'd love to do something with him.
Yeah, cool. And then, do you remember the first album that you bought?
I remember my
this is
first.
Usually funny, like.
Yeah, I'm not kidding. It probably was Weird Al Yankovic, but I know the first album I got ever.
Okay.
The first CD I ever had was the Judds Greatest Hits. Can you believe that, Grandpa? Tell me about the good old days. I'm like, I got that. We were having Christmas in Hawaii in the '80s, and I was performing at the Aloha Bowl.
halftime show during Christmas with my brothers, and we Santa Claus brought us each a CD that year, and I got the Judds Greatest Hits. And I listened to the Judds that whole Hawaiian trip.
Sure, yeah, you had everything. They're gonna tour again.
I thought that it was great. I love some of their music, you know.
Yeah, they're gonna tour again like this year. They were just on Oprah talking about
that's
it.
That's awesome. Yeah, that's great. I met them before. They're very nice.
Yeah, that's cool.
Very cool.
That's really cool. And what are you listening to now? Like, what's on?
Oh on boy, your iPod? You know, honestly, I listen to everything that's on my wife's iPod. And because that's what we jam to. And when I'm in the car or something, typically, I gotta be frank, I turn on talk radio or something like that because I don't really get a chance to watch much TV, and so I try to get my news somewhere that way. But we turn on a lot of classic rock because you can't go wrong with that.
That's cool. So,
I listen to some contemporary stuff, top 40, and some of it's really cool and I really enjoy it. A lot of it is just very kind of not impressive. It seems like it's being churned out the same machine.
Yeah, there's just, well, I mean, now the whole big thing is like the auto-tuning and everything, right?
Oh, yeah,
like,
yeah, the TV.
I mean, that's like the big, and it's just, I don't know.
It's, yeah.
Yeah, it's getting
a little monotonous. Singer-songwriter stuff, you know, indie artists, and My Little Brother's in a really cool indie band.
Oh, cool.
What? Desert Noises.
Okay.
And they're good. They're really good. They're in there mixing their album right now, and you can check them out. But they're awesome.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. Just random artists that have something to say.
Mm-hmm. Thanks a lot for taking the time to talk. And
you're
again,
welcome.
It's
David. And thanks to everybody who's been walking around here as well as the
just saw a little
random jazz muzak playing in the hallway here.
We're not sure how much it'll get picked up. But
I know, right?
Yeah, it's kind of...
It'll be interesting.
It's not usually my jam, that's for sure.
Well, God bless you, and thanks all for the time, and
thanks
for being involved in
and
this, too.
And it's davidosmond.com, so make sure you guys check it out.
Check it out.
All right, thanks.
Welcome.